You are listening to the podcast of the Y Church of the Elk River YMCA in Minnesota. Our mission is to seek Jesus, connect together, and share his love.
Good evening. My name is Pastor Bjorn, and it's great to have you with us here for Good Friday worship. We want to involve all of our senses tonight as we remember the cross and as we have an opportunity to read part of the gospel narrative, the gospel account of Jesus' suffering and death. We're going to do that in John chapter 19 tonight. That's where we're going to focus our time. Turn to John 19 and follow along. John's gospel is unique in that half of the gospel is about Jesus' last week of his life. So John is emphasizing and highlighting what Jesus has come to do. John also has an interesting way of beginning his gospel, and I want to read just a couple of verses that really set the tone for then as we turn to John 19. But here's John 1, starting in verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Tonight we get to remember how God made this story possible for us. As we turn to John 19, we'll hear over the next several minutes from four different people from this church family. The gospel is not something just for pastors or preachers to proclaim, but for all of us as followers of Jesus. And so tonight, in their own words, we'll get to hear readings and reflection from Tom Juergens, Larissa Dvorak, Joni Schramm, and Emily Nikovich. And we trust that you'll be blessed by what the Lord has put on their heart to share. At this point, let's just prepare our hearts and minds in a moment of silence as Tom comes and prepares to start our reading in John 19.
John 19, verses 16 through 22. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And here they crucified him and with two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic and Latin and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, saying, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." But Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." So when we read just these verses, it seems that John passes over the crucifixion. He says it in one verse. And it's like he's anticipating the resurrection. Kind of like how sometimes we pass over the crucifixion in anticipation of Easter. But John didn't pass by the cross. He stayed. He heard the mocking by the soldiers. He heard the gasping words spoken by Jesus. He saw the horrific torture and mutilation of the body of Jesus. He witnessed the extreme physical pain and agony and suffering of the crucifixion. A pain and agony that the Romans had no word for, so they made up a new word. Excruciating. ex, meaning out of or from, and crus, meaning cross. The pain of the cross, excruciating. The pain that John couldn't see was the excruciating spiritual pain that Jesus suffered of being separated from his Father with the weight of the sins of the entire world, all the sins of the past, in the present and the future, being poured into his sinless body on the cross, leading to death. The mystery of the cross. The mystery of our sins being punished by the suffering of Jesus. The mystery of the death of the Son of God being necessary and acceptable to God the Father. Being necessary and acceptable to God the Father. The payment of our sin demanded by God, paid in full. The mystery of the cross. John couldn't see the hope in the cross. And John couldn't know that the result of this excruciating pain and agony and death suffered by Jesus would yield grace. The complete forgiveness of our sins. And through the cross, God's love triumphed. God's love triumphed over greed and lust and bitterness and jealousy and pride. God's love triumphed over all evil. The triumph of God's love for us on the cross. In my walk with Jesus, I have to come to the cross often, admitting my helplessness in living in sin. It's at the cross that I come in humility and confession and repentance, seeking grace. It's at the cross that I pour out my sins. Pour them out. The sins of what I've done and the sins of what I should have done that have kept me from loving God and loving my neighbor. It's at the cross that God's grace is offered. It's at the cross that my debt has been paid, completely paid, and I am forgiven. That I am forgiven by the excruciating agony suffered by Jesus. And it is at the cross that I receive hope. It is at the cross that I can receive and accept grace with gratitude. It is at the cross that my heart can be filled with the love of Jesus. In his letter to the Romans, Paul says, "And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts, poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which God has given us." And that is why all of us as followers of Christ, must come to the cross. Come in humility and confession, to receive and accept grace and hope. Come with worship and gratitude and joy.
John 19, 23 and 24. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shears, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. During a Roman execution, it was common practice for the executioners to get the executed criminal's clothing. From these verses, we can see that there were four Roman soldiers overseeing Jesus' execution. They divided his clothing into four shears, but his undergarment remained. Because it was made out of one seamless piece of cloth, they didn't want to ruin it by tearing it up into four pieces for each of them, so they decided to cast lots for it. Although we may not know exactly what they would have used to cast lots, we know that casting lots back then could be compared to rolling a dice or flipping a coin today. It was a matter of chance. I say all this, but John is pointing us to something greater than just the simple fact that Jesus' clothing was divided among some Roman soldiers. In the passage I just read, John says, this happened that the scripture might be fulfilled. The scripture that he is referring to is Psalm 22, verse 18, which says, they divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. The Jewish people of that day would have been familiar with this psalm. By pointing his readers back to this verse, John is declaring that Jesus was not defeated in death, but that this was always God's victorious plan for humanity. Psalm 22 was written by King David about 1,000 years before his descendant Jesus was nailed to the cross. If you look at Psalm 22, you can see how it correlates and compares to what is written in the Gospels surrounding Jesus' crucifixion. You might be familiar with the way it starts off. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cries out these same words while he is on the cross, bearing the sins of the world, forsaken as we ought to have been. Praise God that his suffering was not in vain. We are his reward. In him we have life, and we don't have to know the wrath of God because Jesus took that upon himself for our sake. We are now called the righteousness of God. He took our place. We are not forsaken. Hallelujah. Though there are times we may feel forsaken by God, life at times can be so challenging that we may question, do you see this God? Are you aware? Do you care? I have been in those places before, and no doubt some of you have too. But oh, how he does care. Just as he allowed and had predestined Jesus to go through something so grievous and difficult in order to give us life in relationship with him, he allows us to go through things that are difficult to increase our faith and strengthen our relationship with him if we let it. God is not the author of evil, but he allows trials in our lives to increase our capacity for more of him, to grow our faith, and to take us from glory to glory. One of my most difficult seasons as a Christian was when Andrew and I were struggling to start a family. In the grand scheme of life, it doesn't seem like that long, and it really wasn't. But for 3 years, we wanted to have children and couldn't. It was so lonely, isolating. I felt shame, bitterness, and anger. I was grieved and confused. We offered up and received so much prayer in those days, and nothing ever seemed answered. At times, I felt those words that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I struggled to understand how I could have enough faith but not see the mountain move. How the Bible could say one thing, but I experienced another. I didn't know how a God who loved me and cared for me would not seem to listen to my prayers, though I see now that I lacked understanding and maturity. Near the end of those 3 years, I finally became pregnant. What joy we felt after such a wait. But not too long after I found out I was pregnant, I miscarried. It was so painful. I questioned why God would finally grant us this gift and then allow it to be stripped away. Yet I knew his sovereignty and his goodness. He was my only source of hope and comfort. And as much as I was confused, I knew I needed him, that without him I was nothing. Because of Jesus' work on the cross, I could come to the Father and cling to him. I could pour out my heart to him, and instead of receive his wrath, I could receive comfort. Jesus conquered death. He bore our sins and clothed us in righteousness. We have access to the throne of God only because of Jesus. I am thankful for a God who loves me, who has called and welcomed me into his family, who has not only given me the promise of eternal life, but hope for each day, no matter what I face. He is always working for our good, graciously caring for us. Because of Jesus, we are not forsaken.
John 19:25-27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. The first thing we notice in this passage are the people who stood at the foot of the cross as Jesus neared the end of life. It was his mother and his mother's sister, also Mary Magdalene, and Jesus' most beloved disciple, John. It's an overwhelming feeling for me to think about how few people were near the cross from Jesus' family and his group of disciples. The word tells us that John was the only disciple of the 12 that was present. My heart wants to identify with Mary, the mother of Jesus. There she was, not only a widow, but soon to lose her son in a most horrifically brutal death. Where were her other children who should have been there to comfort her? We're told in John 7:3-5 that the other children in the family did not believe in Jesus as his mother did. But why weren't the other disciples there to support Mary and to show respect and love for their master, Jesus? It is believed that they were confused and afraid. They were afraid that their own lives were at risk for having followed him. Therefore, they kept themselves safe. The fact that John was the only disciple present helps us understand why Jesus appointed him to care for his mother. John was his beloved follower, for one, but also he simply showed up and was loyal, unlike the other family members and friends. We may relate this to our decisions today as we also choose caregivers and executors that we trust for our loved ones. Sometimes a blood relative is not a good choice and may not be reliable and responsible. Jesus knew that John would care for his mother for the rest of her life, and he trusted him with her welfare. These are all things we naturally question and are quite often able to relate to. But do we know what Jesus wanted us to learn in these words from the cross? "Woman, "Here is your son." To the disciple, "Here is your mother." With all my being, I feel the intense love that Jesus had for his mother. In Mary's widowhood, and then soon to lose her son, he sought the provision for Mary that he knew she deserved. Even in his agony of the cross, Jesus looked at his mother as she was heartbroken and weeping, and rendered up his last act of love for her by arranging her care in a life that wasn't going to be easy. Jesus' words and acts of love from the cross remind us of God's concern for widows and that they are to be cared for in the community. Jesus made it clear that his family is made up of those who do the will of God, not just blood relatives. Jesus undoubtedly wept over his loved ones' broken hearts throughout his whole life. And then, in his death, it pained him to see his mother consumed by grief. Even as he hung from a cross, suffering and dying for our sins, Jesus demonstrated his love and care for those who grieve. If only we could all love like Jesus did. Though he was forsaken by many in his most sorrowful moments of death, Jesus still spoke words of love over those who mourned. I feel this daily. I know this is true. Jesus weeps and mourns with us in every heartbreak of our lives. He lived for us, and he died for us. With some of his final breaths, Jesus showed us that he knows our sorrows and our sins. He is concerned for us, and he loves us through it all to the very end. Oh, what a Savior.
John 19:28-30. The death of Jesus. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. I see most of you as we gather every Sunday in worship. Today we gather on this very Good Friday, marking the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. I'm up here barely as an adult myself, and amongst these other three individuals who carry wisdom through experience. I'm inexperienced, young, ignorant, oblivious. Honestly, a part of me did not know why I was up here. I was hesitant to say yes to Andrew when he asked me to speak, but as I'm writing this, I recognize the opportunity I have, the opportunity to connect with others my age or parents of children my age. I struggle finding the words to explain the importance of John 19:28-30, and what I found was easiest was dissecting these verses and explaining them through my own experience. I'll start in the first few words of John 19:28, where it writes, "Later, knowing that everything had now been finished." That first word, "later," I believe was purposely put there because it was not until later that he knew everything was officially over. Through all my struggles, it was not until later that I knew my suffering was reaching an end. But in that ending was where I felt myself feeling empty. Because again, it's not until later did I finally get to take a step back and realize how lost and confused I've become. Which is where I'll move into the following sentence of John 19:28 as it continues. Jesus said, "I am thirsty." Once my struggles started to reach an end, I was so thirsty for God. I thirsted for many things: love, acceptance, growth, healing, And as I searched for all these things, I found what was the most common thing I searched for was answers. Why am I going through this? What am I supposed to learn from this? And so when Jesus was thirsty, the scripture writes again in John 19:29, a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. In the last month of high school, I've been able to reflect over all the phases and problems I've overcome or are now facing. Feeling almost dehydrated by the endless questions and lack of answers, I soon felt quenched once I soaked myself in God. What I mean by that is I imagine my life to be a sponge, and soaking it with good people, good decisions, and good environments when I'm struggling is the best thing I could have or should have done for myself. In this day of age, sometimes it does feel hard to do, that you will never feel free from what you're struggling with. But once I took a drink of God is when I felt things getting easier. John 19:29 ends writing, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. After everything Jesus went through, the physical and mental pain he carried himself with, he officially knew it was over. It was finished. Now, the idea of a man dying for me is a hard one to grasp, but that's the beauty of God's human form. I can understand him. It's important to acknowledge that Jesus' suffering is a human suffering, a human death. In that, I can understand his pain. These few sentences in Matthew 26:38-42 touch on Jesus' human emotion. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. I personally overthink and overwhelm myself with worry. I think this verse right here shows even Jesus was worried. He was afraid just like me. But John 19:30 finishes with that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When you're thirsty, bow your head. Pray to God. What I learned is that those questions will be answered on their own. If I could have told my younger self anything, I would have told her to not worry about anything and pray about everything. Once I did, I soon felt free from my struggle, free from my sin. Because no doing, no thing, no person can free you like God's promise can. Before I finish, I wanted to take this time to thank God, to thank him for giving us his one and only son so that we can live and live through God. That's the greatest blessing in my eyes, that we're alive. I still have time to correct things, but more importantly, I have time to be alive and be alive in God's goodness. I might not have control over my situations and struggles, but I do have control to live as a woman of God. And I wouldn't be able to do that if it were not for Jesus' sacrifice. Thank you.
You've heard four reflections, and now we're going to finish our time in prayer. And I'd like to give you an opportunity for your own reflection. And so we'll do that together now as we bow our heads. Father, as we close our time here tonight, we think of the unfinished story of Good Friday as that evening ended, as those following you were just in disarray, disbanded, fearful, and heartbroken. Lord, we thank you and acknowledge tonight all that you have done for us at the cross. And we've sung some songs, we've heard these reflections and testimonies, but Lord, you look to the heart and mind of each man and woman and child in this room, and you're awaiting our response. I pray, Lord, for each one here that this story about the cross would not just be a religious service that they've attended, but that this would strike at the core of who we are. I pray that this story would be personal. And as we recognize that, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for indeed paying it all of our sin, all of the mess that we find ourselves in has been covered by your blood on the cross. And we receive this gift of your grace with rejoicing and with gratitude. We ask your blessing over this weekend, Lord, as we await Easter Sunday morning, that you would go with each of us. And as is our custom, Lord, we now close our time in a way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Y Church podcast. For more information about the Y Church, check us out online at thewychurch.org.